Let's turn to today's devotional. It's 27th of February. Free but not cheap. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go to buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Make them sit in the groups of about 50 each." They did so and made them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others, Elijah, and still others, that one of the ancient prophets has risen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose to or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So the devotion by Reverend Edmund Toe says, "The message of this passage is salvation is free, but it is not cheap." Does this sound like a paradox? If a gift is free, can it cost you something to receive it? Of course. If you were given a car as a free gift, you would actually still have to count the cost of whether or not you could afford to maintain it. You would have to pay a license tag, motor oil, gasoline, and insurance. None of these payments go to the giver, for they are simply inherent in the very nature of the gift itself. Salvation is that kind of free gift. Christ has already purchased it with his own blood. There is nothing more we need to do to obtain what he has given us so freely. However, accepting this gift is going to cost us something, and the cost is the cross. To deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. So, reading through this devotion, for me, I kind of just gave 2 definitions to salvation. And the first one, it is grace. Because it is through grace that we receive forgiveness of sin, which then leads us to eternal life. And that is given in Ephesians 2:8, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Even though it is free, but it is not cheap. As we know, Jesus has gone through every kind of suffering and torture. A spotless lamb gave up himself freely for us. And the second definition I had was salvation is free, but it is also conditional. As the devotion said, it is not cheap. And I feel like the word conditional may sound like we need to work to attain it. And I think to a certain extent we do need to work it out. But we need to know that it is works. There is a difference between works of merits and works of obedience. With works of obedience, it is a submission to God's command. It's so clearly stated in Ephesians 2:8 just now that I read, it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Therefore, no works of merits can let us attain salvation. So how do we become followers of God to deny ourselves, take up the cross daily? I think no one else puts it better than P. Sam, P. Eugene, P. Nate, P. Sophia combined together. But to me, I feel like that in order to deny ourselves, we need to, it requires us to do it daily. Jesus had said, take up your cross daily. So we need to obey his commands, draw close to him, to imitate Christ, inviting God into our everyday life, inviting the Holy Spirit, have him be a part of our lives, tap into his teaching, his power, his counseling. We need to make a conscious decision every morning. Are we going to follow Christ today? Or are we going to leave him at home and let the world take over instead? As we seek to do this daily, let us also be encouraged and reminded that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He gives us new mercies and grace every single day that can motivate us and encourage us to seek him daily. And I also think that it is to seek for forgiveness. Denying self, another part of it, is to seek forgiveness. I feel that as we humble ourselves to seek God's forgiveness, we are seeking his will. We will truly see how short we fall from the glory of God. And I think an interesting point from the passage we read just now from Luke, Jesus commanded his disciples to give them something to eat after the disciples told Jesus to let the people go. In all of the Gospels except for John, they wrote that this miracle where the disciples suggested Jesus to do something, it seems like that they were trying to decide what was best for the people themselves, and it seems like that they were trying to tell Jesus how to lead instead. It seems that they had also forgotten Jesus had personally performed at least 19 miracles before this, and they just constricted Jesus to human standard, suggesting the multitude to be sent away. And I think this shows how forgetful we can be, how easily we forget his glory, his goodness, his faithfulness, his power, and his love. And one prayer I suggest that we can pray as we seek him every day is the King David prayer in Psalm 139. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting. And so I think forgiveness, seeking God's forgiveness and humbling ourselves, is also a way of denying Christ. I think for some of you that may know me personally and know my past, I feel that there was a period of time in my life where I was persecuted by pretty much the whole of Hong Kong. And anywhere in the world with Asian community, Chinese or Taiwanese. I would not dare to walk down the streets because people would look at me and either point at me and start peeping, muttering, and just blatantly talking bad about me. But today, I walk so freely in the streets, living a second life. I was given a second chance, and I clearly don't deserve it. But because of his grace, you know, even though I thought before I met God and all this time, I thought I was righteous. You know, I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't do drugs or whatever. But yet I fall so short to the glory of God. When I met Jesus, I was like, wow, who am I to even think that? And I think that was such a good reminder that, when we look unto God, we see how glorious he is, and it humbles us that we can seek his forgiveness, and because of his mercies and grace that we are forgiven. And the last point I have is denying self is to remember your first love. I personally think that in order to freely give what we had so freely received, we must always go back to our first love. God was compelled by love to send his only son for us. And I think love is irrational. I mean, how can a mighty God stoop down, come down to our level? I don't understand. But the only explanation I have is because of love. Love compels us to do things beyond our wildest imagination. And if we remain in Him and in His love, He will remain in us, and we will bear much fruit. We will be able to glorify and praise Him. More importantly, also be able to reap harvests. So my takeaway is, when we constantly and intentionally go back to our first love, we would naturally be compelled to work to obey Him and serve others, love the weak and help the poor. We love because He first loved us. We need to consciously make the effort to draw close to Him. A quote I read before, it says, "Love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace." That's my devotion and my take in it. And I was told I need to also read the credits. So this devotion, Free But Not Cheap, is written by Reverend Edmund Teo. He's a senior pastor of International Christian Assembly. He constantly inspires ICA to be a church that gives back to the poor and powerless in Hong Kong. Yeah. So as Jeff leads us into a time of worship, let's spend some time to really learn to follow Him by also stooping to those around us. Because when we stoop, what we are really doing is humbling ourselves to be lowered to the same level as the other. And as P. Eugene says, fans wear the cross, but followers bear the cross. Thank you. let's spend some time to go back to our first love and know that it is His love that enabled everything. Let today be the first day of seeking Him every single day. Let's meditate on the cross and go back to our first love. To our prayer focus. Let's spend some time praying for the community, our brothers and sisters, or family members that are suffering from health problems. Let's pray for them. So lift up those that need salvation. Let's pray that they will encounter God and really, first and foremost, be able to experience His grace and forgiveness of sin, and then walk in the confidence that the Lord has so much in store for them. Let's lift up everyone else that is sick with infirmity. Everyone else that is struggling and fighting with all kinds of different illnesses and infirmities, let's pray for speedy recovery and an increased immune system, that they will be able to fight off anything that is malfunctioning and bothering them. Thank you. let's lift up everyone that's looking for a job. Let's pray that God will really open the door that no man can close, and close every door that men have opened. Let's pray for opportunities to rise up, and during this time that each of them would really learn to be still in the Lord and draw close to Him. Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for our missionaries that are there, Grace and Ashley. Pray for Pastor Robert O's Vision to Reality ministry and Pastor Tang, the New Life Church. Let's pray that God will continue to pour out His hope in Cambodia. Lift up the board. P. Sam, Lisa, Hyde, Janie, Tom, Kiwan, Brian, and Monica, the secretary. Let's pray that God will continue to give them wisdom as they meet. We pray for unity and fellowship, that God will really speak to them and how to bring SP into a next level. Let's also lift up the men's and the women's ministry. Let's pray for Sandra and Bonnie as well as they lead these ministries. Let's pray that there would be greater fellowship, there would be greater opportunities where we can gather together to really build strong fellowship and understanding of what God has in store for His men and His women of the church. Thank you. let's pray for SP 2.0, our new building. We know that God is faithful, and it is not about the building, but we also want to just, in our own ways, to really pray the building over, pray the building up, that in God's timing, we will be able to have our own land. And let's also pray for a heart of generosity, a heart to bless. Let's pray for those that may be convicted to give, small or big, as long as they have a heart to pour into this family. Let's also pray for those people to rise up and God to bless SP with a new building. All the house churches that will be meeting tonight. Let's pray for God's presence to be in the homes of the meeting place already. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to not just the leaders, but everyone that will be joining all the house churches tonight as well. Let's pray for fruitfulness. Let's pray that God will really come and reveal the new normal to everyone that is attending house church tonight. We just want to thank you for today. Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your faithfulness. God, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to come and minister to us. We are all works in progress, God, and we need you. We need you so much, God. Come and remind us who you are every single day, God, that we may look up to you and give you the glory and the praise that you deserve, Father, Lord God. Father, I pray that you will continue to mold us and transform us. Teach us what it means to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow you, God. Surely it is not something too difficult or too hard to do, God, because you did it out of love. Love is not hard. Love is not difficult. It is only a response, God. So God, I pray that as we follow you, as we seek your face, God, that you will reveal to us even deeper and greater how deep and how wide and how high and how great your love is, God, that we may be compelled to respond to your love and do the same for you, Father, Lord God. We thank you for today, God. And I just pray, God, that you will continue to watch over my brothers and sisters here today. Let them have a great time at work, God. and let them continue to draw close to you, God. We thank you, God, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.